God never moves without purpose or plan. When trying his servant and molding a man, give thanks to the Lord, though your testing seem long. In darkness he giveth a song. Oh, rejoice in the Lord, he makes path that I take. For when I am tried and purified, I shall come forth as gold.
I could not see the shadows ahead, so I looked at the cross of my Savior instead. I bowed to the will of the Master that day. Then peace came and tears fled away.
Now I can see testing comes from above. God strengthens his children and purges in love. My Father knows best, and I trust in his care. Through purging more fruit I will bear. Rejoice in the Lord, he makes no mistake. He knoweth the end of each path that I take. For when I am tried and purified, I shall come forth as gold. For when I am tried and purified, I shall come forth as gold.
All right, wonderful. Thank you, fellas. You know, it's always a blessing when you can stand and sing and live what you're singing. And those two boys will certainly do that. Tim, let me give that to you if you would. There you go, sir. And thank you, Timothy and Benjamin Cannonberg. And for those of you that are visiting, these boys' father has been in struggling with terminal cancer, brain cancer, now for several months. And so I appreciate them being able to stand and sing a song like that, understanding that God knows best, and he's working out all things together for good to them that love God, to them who are called according to his purpose. And if we'll get a hold of that, you know, we can live peaceably in our lives. We can live to serve the Lord faithfully, realizing that he's doing everything for our good and his glory. Take your Bible, if you would, with me, and join me tonight in 2 Timothy chapter number 4. We're going to continue on in our study of the church in the last days. Now, I'm only going to preach half of what I actually want to preach on tonight. And so you'll be happy about that, because we have the Lord's Supper, which is very, very important to our worship tonight. And we'll be observing that at the end of the service. 2 Timothy chapter 4, and we're going to read the first four verses. So would you stand with me out of love and respect for the Word of God? 2 Timothy 4, verses 1 through 4. Follow along as I read aloud. Paul says, I charge thee therefore before God and the Lord Jesus Christ, who shall judge the quick and the dead at his appearing and his kingdom. Underline these words, He's talking to Timothy specifically, but to the church collectively. He said, preach the word. Be instant in season, out of season. Reprove, rebuke, exhort with all longsuffering and doctrine. For the time will come. What time is that? We've learned that it's perilous times. Times of that are unknown much to the church of today, but we're heading in a direction as a church and as a spirit within the church that is not conducive to the moving of the Holy Spirit. And so he says, for the time will come when they, he's talking about people in the church, will not endure sound doctrine. But after their own lusts shall they heap to themselves teachers having itching ears, and they shall turn away their ears from the truth and shall be turned unto fables. Don't turn there. You will find it later on in Romans chapter 10, verse number 17. The scripture says, so then faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. And I want to go back, if you would, to verse number 1. And I want to speak to you tonight about the charge to the church in the last days. Now, over the next several weeks, we're going to be looking at the charge to the church in the last days, the challenge of the church in the last days, and the call of the church in the last days. And that's going to be our studies over the next few Wednesday nights. But I want you to notice here in verse number 2, here's the charge that Paul gave Timothy individually and the church collectively. He said, I know it's perilous times. I know that the times are not conducive and people are not swamping to the church and flooding the church pews. He said, but I don't care what's happening. Preach the word. Be instant, in season, out of season. Reprove, rebuke, exhort with all longsuffering and doctrine. Father, take the short time that we have together tonight. Open our heart and our spirit, we ask in Jesus' name. Amen. You can be seated. You know, I have, over the course of 20-something years of ministry, I've heard all types of little cliches about the local church and the church in the last days. And I'm not against cliches, but I want to say to you that cliches are not going to get the job done. We can have our little cliches about the church and what our motives and what our mission is. But if we don't follow through with that, it's going to do us absolutely no good in these last days and perilous times. Many times we hear cliches like, we are a 21st century church with first century vision. Now, it sounds good, but not many people are practicing that. Because here's the thing. If we're a 21st century church with first century vision, then that means that what's going to come is persecution. Because that's what was happening in the first century to people who stood up to preach the word. And so when you go back and you read Paul's instruction to Timothy, Timothy already understood the consequences that were going to come his way when he stood up to preach. And so here we are as a church in the 21st century, and here we are a church in the last days of the last days. Now, over the last few weeks, we've studied the church in the last days, and we've got somewhat a picture about the spirit of the church in the last days, and we have identified it as a very self-promoting spirit. Again, in our day, the spirit of the church in general today seems to be about popularity rather than about ministry. Popularity rather than about souls. And again, I can't find anywhere in Scripture where Jesus ever won a popularity contest. Never did. He was not promoting popularity. He was promoting a message. And that's what we are to do. So we find that the church in the last days, like the church of the Laodiceans, seems to be very self-promoting. It seems to be the attitude. They want programs rather than evangelism. We also find that the church in the last days, according to James chapter 1 and verse number 8, that it seems to be that the mindset of the church of the last days is double-minded philosophy. Now, remember, I described it last week as as not just double-minded, but it's that philosophy that we can serve God and mammon. It's that philosophy that we can serve both masters, and yet Jesus said, you cannot serve both masters. You're going to turn to one or the other. You cannot serve both. But the church of the last days seems to want to be more social than it does spiritual. And so the outreach seems to be more to the social society and programs to get people in so they can fill the pews. But let me say something to you folks. You can do whatever you want to fill the pews, but the same thing that brought them in is the same thing the moment you start preaching the word is going to drive them out. Because they're not there for preaching. They're there for social structure. And that's not what the church has ever been. The church has never been a place for you to come and be entertained. If anything, the church has always been a place for the people of God to come and be convicted. You see, conviction is not a bad thing. It's a good thing. And if you ever stop being convicted as a Christian, you ought to have something to be concerned about. So we find out that the church of the last days seems to have a double-minded philosophy. We've talked about that the church of the last days has a lukewarm attitude toward its purpose, toward its plan, and toward the promises of God. They take them very lightly. We also learned that the church of the last days seems to have an attitude that tends to flirtation with the world. In other words, it has a tolerable attitude. Now, let me say something here just a moment. Many of you have driven around and you've seen the bumper sticker on the back of the cars that says coexist. You seen that? And it's got all the little cute little emblems on in there. But let me tell you something to you, okay? Everybody look up here. I'm not trying to hurt anybody's feelings. I'm just going to tell you the truth, all right? Jesus never preached coexisting. Okay? When it came to spiritual matters and principle and doctrine, he never coexisted with the Pharisees. He always rebuked them. Matter of fact, he said some words like, you vipers, you hypocrites. Now, that doesn't sound like coexisting to me. You say, who said that again? I said, Jesus said that. Now, all I'm trying to say is the church of the last days seems to be very flirtatious with the world. It wants the attention of someone other than her groom. We also found out that the church of the last days has a whatever attitude. You hear me? I don't know about you. We've kind of banned that around my house. We don't say whatever. Because it's just I just don't like it. All right? Because it's basically just do whatever you want to do. And that has never been the design of the church of the last days. And then we find that the church of the last days has the tendency, listen now, to abandon sound doctrine. It's abandoning the things that Jesus Christ established as the foundation of the church. It's apt to alter the Word of God so that it can be more tolerable in society. Now folks, if it comes down to me being more tolerable to society or obeying the Word of God and being right with God, I'm going to choose being right with God rather than being tolerable toward society. Now, it's evident that the spirit of the bride as a whole in the last days will become complacent and indifferent to the desires of the groom. Now here's what she'll do. The bride tends to seek a more tolerable and understanding groom. In other words, we want to find someone that will accept me like I am, that'll accept my attitude, that'll accept my differences, and so that I won't have to change anything that I'm doing. Listen, the church of the last days does not want any accountability, not even to God. Now folks, listen, Trinity Baptist Church, as long as this preacher is on watch, I'm going to keep the helm steered in the right direction. We're not going to move to the left or to the right. We're going to keep this thing headed in the right direction and on sound doctrine. You say, what's sound doctrine? That's that which Jesus Christ taught and preached himself. You see, Jesus didn't preach what he lived. He lived what he preached. Well, the church of the last days is faced with a very difficult situation. But listen to me, yet a great opportunity. Now you say, well, I can't believe how many people today in our society in America have never even heard about Jesus Christ. Well, why does that surprise you? Because we know that in Scripture, as we move toward the end of time and the coming of Jesus Christ, Paul said we would experience more and more the spirit of Antichrist in those last days. And even though it's a difficult situation, church, it is a great opportunity. Let me show you something. Hold your place there in 2 Timothy 4 and go to 1 Corinthians 16. I want to show you something here that the Apostle Paul mentioned. in 1 Corinthians chapter 16. Look at verse number 8. 1 Corinthians 16 and verse number 8. Speaking here, the Apostle Paul says, "But I will tarry at Ephesus unto Pentecost." Look at verse 9. "For a great door and effectual is opened unto me." Now listen, folks. When you go read about the church at Corinth and the church at Ephesus, and you read what they did and how they treated other prior to the Apostle Paul starting churches and preaching the word there, how they treated other believers, that doesn't seem like a great door and effectual opened. But Paul saw something totally different. He says, listen, even though these people are pagans, even though they're worshiping false gods, he said, the thing that I enjoy most of all, they know nothing about Christ. So everything I introduce is all brand new to them. They ain't been messed with. He said, so when I come in and I preach, he says, here at Ephesus, he said, and at Corinth, there is not a door. Listen to me. He said, a great door. A huge door. Which tells me that Paul saw an abundant opportunity for success. He saw an abundant opportunity for productivity, even in Corinth and Ephesus, which were very difficult cities to preach the gospel in. If you'll remember, Jesus spoke to his disciples. If you'll remember in John chapter 4, he says, "Lift up your eyes and look on the fields, for they're already white unto harvest." He said, look out there, guys. He says, they're white to harvest. He says, now we got to go collect the harvest. Now listen, I was raised in Mississippi and I know what a cotton field looks like. They'll plant cotton as far as you can see. And boy, when those cotton blooms come in and the bolls come out of the cotton around September, October, and you look across the field, it looks like it snowed across there. But can I say this to you, that those cotton bolls that are produced there, what if the farmer said, boy, isn't that beautiful? Look at all that cotton out there. Let's just stand here and watch it. Let's just stand here and soak it in. No, folks, that's his crop. He's looking at that, and when he sees that cotton out there, he sees success. He sees productivity. So you know what he does? He harvests it. And he harvests it at just the right time. Paul said there was a great door and effectual opened unto me. If you'll remember in Matthew chapter 9, remember Jesus, as he was looking across Jerusalem, here's what he said to his disciples. The harvest truly is plenteous, but the laborers are few. He said, pray ye therefore the Lord of the harvest that he will send forth laborers into the harvest. Why, folks? Because the opportunity is a great door that's opened. That's what we have today. As a church, we have a great door that's opened to Trinity Baptist and multiple other churches. Listen, we need to walk through that door, folks. We need to take advantage of that open door. But then he says, not only was it a great door, he says, but it was a great door and effectual. He says, we have an opportunity today for a great effect. Not just in America, but around the world prior to the coming of Jesus Christ. He says, we are in what could be the most productive time in the history of the world. The last harvest that will take place prior to the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. Well, what we're here to do, church, is to present a consistent truth. I'm talking about a truth that's proven to change lives and create joy in a person's life. You see, there's a lot of things that people can refute, but you can't refute a changed life. You can't refute an old boy that was sitting on a bar stool on Friday. He comes to church, gets born again, and never shows up again. Totally changes his attitude, totally changes his direction, and says, I'm not going to those places anymore. Would somebody explain that? You can't explain that outside of Jesus Christ. You cannot refute a changed life. Well, the church in the last days, here's what Paul told us to do. Here's his charge. Are you there in 2 Timothy? We're going to give you three things. We're done. Here it is. He said, I charge thee. In other words, I am telling you the opportunity. He said, I've experienced it at Ephesus. I've experienced it at Corinth. I've experienced it in Lystra and many other places. He said, there is a great door, church of the last days, a great effectual that's open to you. Take advantage of it. And here was his charge. Are you there? Verse 2. Very simple. Three words, what he told the church to do. Preach the word. Preach the word. Now here's what we do. We say, oh, but it might offend somebody. I said, preach the word. You say, well, there might be people that may not like it. Preach the word. He said, there's going to be some people that might come against the church. He said, preach the word. Preach it. He says, it doesn't matter whether people embrace it or reject it. He said, you have an obligation as a church in the last days of the last days to keep the truth going forward. Preach the word. By the way, did you notice how specific Paul got with this? How he bypassed all the other things that we do as a church and he went right to the core? He didn't say, create more programs. He didn't say, start more classes. Reach out into the community more. You say, are you against all that? No. But you know what? He cut right to the quick. He says, all of those things are great, but nothing's going to matter if you don't preach the word. Remember Romans 10:17? So then faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. How is the word of God going to go forth? By preaching. Preaching. And it doesn't have to be preaching from the pulpit. It can be preaching door to door. It can be preaching person to person. You see, he's not just narrowing this down to a preaching from the pulpit type ministry. But here's the charge. Preach the word. Now here's the three things I wanted you to look at. What he told the church. We'll cover the next three next week. He says, preach the word. And then he uses two words. Look at it. He said, be instant. Be instant. Here's what I want you to write down. If you believe in writing your Bible, underline that, draw an arrow out to the side of your Bible, and the two words, be instant, literally mean to stand by your post. It means to stand by your post, not leave your assigned place. When he said, preach the word, be instant, he said, stand where you've always stood. Don't waver by man-made doctrine. Don't waver when people come and try to draw you away from your post. Often I have seen people, we've had some of our in-laws go to England, to Buckingham Palace. And if you know anything about that, you know they have those guards, the royal guard, and they're standing there and they never make a motion. Or at least they're not supposed to, I guess. And I've seen people, you know, go up there snapping their fingers in those guys' face. You know, they're doing this. They're making all kinds of, they're doing all kinds of face trying to get these guys to change expressions. They never change expression. Listen, you know why? Because they have a post that they're supposed to be at and they are not to leave that post. And people try to draw them away. People try to make fun of them, trying to get them to leave their post. Paul is telling young Timothy and the church of the last days, he said, preach the word, be instant, do not leave your post. Stay consistent. Listen to me, church. You know what people are looking for today, Brother Ricky? They're looking for consistency. They're tired of this moving and with every wind of doctrine. They're tired of we're this way one year and we're this way another year and we're this way another. People are getting tired of that mess. They're looking for consistency. A place where they know that we're going to preach the word and be consistent. He says, preach it, but be instant. Stand by your post and that which you believe. Folks, listen to me. Baptists, people are jumping ship on the Baptist faith left and right. They're leaving the true doctrines of the word. Hey, folks, look. We're here today, and when I drove up, it still says Baptist on the sign. And it's going to stay on the sign. You know why? Because Baptist identifies us with a body of belief. It identifies us with what we believe to be a true doctrine that Jesus Christ taught. He says, don't move away from what you believe. He says, because when you move with every wind of doctrine, people will not follow that for very long. He says, I charge thee, preach the word. Be instant. Stand by your post. Embrace every opportunity to make the gospel known. He said, press the matter. Don't just not do anything. So he said, preach the word. And he told the church, be instant. Don't leave your post. Don't move away from what you are, what you've established yourself to be as a local church. Then notice what he said. He said, preach the word, be instant, and then circle these two words. In season. In season. I love to hunt. But can I tell you that there are in seasons? Y'all know that? You can't just go do it whenever you want. Now, I'd like that, but you can't do that. There are laws that say there is in season, and then there's out of season. And you can hunt in season, but you cannot hunt out of season. And listen, I love the in season because that's the best part. We all enjoy the in season part, right? He said, preach the word, be instant, do not leave your post. And he said, be instant in season. In other words, when it is conveniently received. He said, take advantage of it while the opportunity presents itself. You see, he said, be vocal about it. Don't close your mouth. Listen, folks, today we live in a day where we need to be more vocal with the gospel. We don't need to close our mouth. The world today needs Jesus Christ as much as it ever has before. And if the church of the last days closes its mouth, how are they going to get the truth? We need to be vocal. We need to be a witness. He said, be instant. Don't leave your post. He says, but take advantage of the in season when people are accepting it and they are willfully hearing the gospel. Listen, folks, anticipate a season of harvest. Anticipate it. For instance, a farmer, back to the cotton guy. You know what he anticipates when he sees the bolls of cotton begin to come out there? He's anticipating a harvest, isn't he? And if you've ever seen those cotton pickers go through there, you know, years and years ago before they had all this machinery, it did that by hand. You told them about tough, brother. Picking cotton by hand, that's tough stuff. Say, have you ever done it? No, but I've had relatives that did it. That's tough work, picking that cotton by hand. But now they got machinery, and these cotton pickers, they go through there and pick that. Listen, when he sees that harvest field wide unto harvest, he's anticipating. He said, oh, it's in season. It's time to harvest. And folks, listen, Jesus is coming. Y'all believe that? And we believe in the imminent return of Christ, which means he could come any moment. That means the harvest is ready to pick right now. You know why? Because the time, if we leave it in the field too long, it will spoil and it will be wasted. We cannot waste the opportunity. So Paul said, preach the word, be instant. Don't leave the doctrine which you've established yourself on. And then he said, be in season. Preach, be vocal, anticipate a harvest. Listen, every time you go out and tell people about Christ, you ought to anticipate somebody being saved. Hey, because the Lord's not slack concerning His promises, some men count slackness, but is long-suffering to usward, not willing that any should perish, but all should come to repentance. Hey, if God is anticipating a harvest, shouldn't we? He wants to save people. I want to see people saved. That's a good combination. You see, we ought to anticipate a season of harvest. And then we ought to participate consistently, listen now, while we have opportunity. Did you know that you're not getting any younger? And there will come a day where you will not be able to do some of the things that you're doing right now in your youth. There will come a day to where your body will begin to age and the old muscles won't stretch out as like they used to, and the old bones are a little crickly more than they used to, and pretty soon you won't be able to walk the streets like you did. You better take advantage while you have an opportunity to pick the cotton. You better take advantage, church, while we have the opportunity to go. Listen, we ought to anticipate a harvest, and then we ought to participate consistently until all is harvested. To do everything that we possibly can to get the harvest in. And then we ought to work fervently, listen, while there's time. Time's running out. Listen, it's running out on your life just like it's running out on my life. It's running out on the souls of men and women and boys and girls. Listen, yes, we live in perilous times. But he said, listen, don't stop preaching the word. He said, preach, be instant. Do not leave your post. Do not leave the doctrine that you've established your church on. And then he said, be instant in season, when it's convenient, when the opportunities are presenting themselves. And listen, folks, opportunities are open to the church today. Wide open today. Do you know we still have the freedom to go door to door? Still have the freedom to go person to person? But if we neglect that, one of these days that's going to be taken away. Now listen, then that leads me to the last thing. Be instant in season, and what does your Bible say right there? Oh boy. That means that there's got to be work going on when there doesn't seem to be a harvest. Now listen, we're not to stop preaching the word. Let's go back to the farmer. You know, before he enjoys harvesting the cotton, before he enjoys going out and harvesting the product that he has labored over, before he did that, you know what? I've watched these guys. You know what they do? They get out there and once they pick the cotton and they allow the plants to stay out there and they'll let it stay for a while, and then they go plow the field up. And they do what they call, they let it lay. They turn it over. And then what they'll do is they'll let it lay for a while, but they realize that, you know what, if I'm going to have a harvest in season, I've got to take care of the field out of season as well. I've got to make sure that it's plowed correctly. I've got to make sure the furrows are done correctly. I've got to make sure that it's fertilized, blah, 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 on and on and on. But you know what? You know what the farmer knows? That there's an in season. Listen, but there won't be an in season if I don't work out of season also. If I don't make sure that I cultivate the out of season, there will be no in season. And so here today in perilous times, some may think, oh, preacher, this is about as out of season as you can get. Well, maybe, but maybe not. You see, church, that out of season is we're to preach the word even when it's inconvenient. And there is no open appointments. And there is no one that seems that they are being receptive. Hey, listen, we need to be committed to the Lord as to speak when the situation looks hopeless. When everything looks hopeless, you know what we're to do? Preach the word. When people don't want to listen, you know what you're to do? Preach the word. When it seems like people are saying, listen, I don't want to have anything to do with the church, the Bible, God, you know what the church is supposed to do? Preach the word. Be instant, in season and out of season. Even when it doesn't seem like that anything's being accomplished. Listen, a person that preaches the word out of season, a church that preaches the word out of season, is not confined to a time to preach, and they're not confined to a place to preach. But they're sold out, listen to me, to a cause. That means, you know what they're willing to do? They're willing to preach in the doctor's waiting room. They're willing to preach at the line in the grocery store. They're willing to preach when they're out at the mechanic shop, on the job, whenever the opportunity presents itself. He says sometimes there's going to be out of seasons. But you know what the church of the last days will do? It'll realize that there must be times of plowing and planting before there can be a harvest. He said, church, preach the word. He said, be instant. Do not move from your post. Do not change your doctrine. You stand fast. People are looking for consistency. They're looking for some people, a church that'll stay straight. A church that's not changing every single time the wind blows. He said they're looking for consistency. Preach the word. Be instant. Do not move from your post. Then he says, be instant in season, when the doors are open and things are going well and the cotton bowls are coming in. Oh, that's when everybody's excited. That's when we're filling our pockets. But he said there's going to come a time also out of season. There's going to come a time when people aren't going to want to listen. But the charge didn't change. Preach the word. preach the word. That's our commission. I often had people ask me, preacher, boy, the times are tough, aren't they? I said, yeah, but not as tough as they were in Jesus' day. I said, they're tough, but they're not like that yet. But you know what the Lord did? You know what he spent all of his entire ministry teaching 12 men to do? Preach the word. That's what he taught them to do. He said, because let me tell you something, guys, there's a time coming when you're going to preach and people will not receive it. Think about it. The charge is this: preach the word. Be instant, don't leave your post. In season, when the doors are open, out of season, when the doors seem closed and things seem hopeless and that people don't want to hear. Yeah, it's perilous times. Let me tell you something. I find people all the time that want to listen to the gospel. I find people all the time that'll take a track. I was out last night, witnessed to a man. He was already saved. Had a man that I came down the stairs. A man was standing there, gave him a track, began to talk to him. So I find people all the time that are lost. You see, we got this idea that nobody wants to hear the gospel. There are people that still do. Folks, you know what that is? We're still in season. We haven't even reached the out of season part yet, but it's coming. Because one thing we found out about history, it always repeats itself. And there's coming a day, the out of season's coming. And it may not be in our lifetime, adults. It may be in the lifetime of your children, where persecution will come, and they may have to take a stand and choose to either stand and die for Christ or recant their faith. You ought to go read the story of the martyrs. What a great, great opportunity it is. What a convicting story it is about teenagers that stood and died for Jesus Christ because they would not recant their faith in Him. Why? Because they were instant. They would not leave their post. They were instant in season, even when the harvest was good, and out of season when it seemed hopeless. That's our job, church. That's our job. Would you bow your heads for a moment, please? How many tonight can say, preacher, I'm a Christian. I've been born again, no question about it. I want you to slip your hand way up high. Say, that's me. I've been saved.